let's pick up Joshua chapter 7. See how far we can go. So he says, up, verse 13. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. And thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be, yeah, we went through this. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come, bless you, according to the families thereof, and the families which the Lord shall take. So you can see the scriptures there. And the households which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. God did not play around back then. Okay. He and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. All right. So we talked about this. Talked about him violating the contractual agreement. I read through some of the chapters in Deuteronomy. I love Psalm 139 and Psalm 119, 105 to consider those verses, because the observation is I want to make sure I don't have an accursed thing in my life that's going to keep me from having victory in what I'm going through. So what is that accursed thing that can happen to us? And so when we're looking here, it's whatever takes our focus off of God and causes us to disobey his word or his instructions. All right? That accursed thing. It could be anything. All right? Anything that I love more than I love God that would cause me to respond in an anti-Christian way. This really is a word more for Christians and a warning for Christians than it is for non-Christians. Because they're already in the army of God. They've already experienced victory like we have. And yet, after the victory, they're experiencing defeat because either pride or something has gotten in front of their obedience to God. What happens to Achan is so sad because of his impatience, and we're going to see that in this scripture or whatever. And so as I look at this, I'm just looking at all the things that are happening in our world that challenges our obedience to God, whether it's the politics, whether it's the pandemic, just things that cause people to be fearful, that cause people to react in such a way that they're not patient and waiting on God, and then all of a sudden those things are driving your actions, and then all of a sudden that's the accursed thing that's keeping you from trusting wholly in the Lord. And the reason why I like Psalms is because, you know, that's that whole, I want you to search me. In fact, I actually started praying this week. I said, Lord, search me. Through your word and your Holy Spirit, if there's something in me that is, you know, unlike you, then show that thing through the light of your word and your spirit so I can deal with that thing and set myself apart. So I don't want to face a lot of defeat. I want to, you know, I just, yeah, there you go. Okay. All right. And it's just powerful scripture. You can't stand in front of your enemies when you've got that thing in the way. All right, verse 16. We talked about this already, so I'm going to move through it. We talked about this last week. If I'm aching, man, I'm shaking in my boots, man. It's just, you know, just shaking in my boots. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. You know, why would he not just confess? Because I think he's still holding out hope that he can get through this thing and not get caught. Why you say that, Chuck? Because that's what I would have done. I would be like, maybe there's still hope.
But he should have known God by now.
Yeah, he should have.
He should have. I mean, yeah. God's true to his word.
Yep, he should have known. All right. Okay. And you got to get to the root of the cause. All right. And verse 19, we talked about this too, because David came up with the answer on this one. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. How do we give glory to God, even in the midst of a mistake? Confess.
Confess.
I messed up.
Sure.
My bad. Yeah.
Messed up.
And make confession to him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." This makes reference to 1 John or whatever. What are all the things that that tempt people in the world today? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so these three things are at work here. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, he didn't sin then. It's that he coveted it. It got in his brain. And 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels of weight, that I coveted them. And he looked at them too long. So now the focus has shifted from honoring and blessing God and following his instructions for what to do with the spoil to, I want this. I covet this. I'm desiring this more than I'm desiring God's plan. I want this more than I want to consult with the Lord. I want this. I mean, this is a danger for all of us. I want it just like this. I want him to act like this. I want her to act like this. I want my job. I want all this to act like that. I want all this to be in line. And I may not wait for God to fix it for me. So I'm just going to step out.
Gravy.
Yep.
Act like that.
Yeah. And here's the thing that I noticed, and I think this is where we really stopped off at, that theft is involved. And I also looked at the, I was looking at the steps. Where was Achan at? And David kind of said, hey, he's at step number one because at least he's humble. He's apologetic.
Only because he got caught. Is he really humble? I mean, that's my question.
Well, he's broke. He's broke. I think he's broke. I think he's broken. You know, blah blah. But here's the problem: the repentance part is missing. Because yeah, I'm really sorry. I'm really broke. I'm really sorry I got caught. Yeah. But he didn't bring the stuff out. Now they got to go back and get the stuff because he didn't take step number two. I don't know if that would have saved him, but that would have helped.
It would have helped.
All right. So now they go back. And now we got new stuff here, so let's get to the new material. I don't want to steal anything that belongs to God. I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Stealing the glory, stealing anything that belongs to God. The tithes, offering, I don't want to steal anything that belongs to God. All right, verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel. Yeah, we left off at this last week. And laid them out before the Lord. So he spread out all the stuff before God. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his donkeys. Yeah, this last week. And his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And he brought them unto the Valley of Anchor. Translated, that's the Valley of Trouble. I'm going to cough over here. And I got tested. I don't have cold. Summer cold. Praise the Lord. That wasn't fun going down there waiting to get tested. But I felt.
They still go up to your brain, up your nose?
Yes, they go up the nose. Yes. I don't know why she had to go that far with a nose as big as mine. You know, she could have just stuck her finger up in there and got what she needed and just went on about her way.
Not all of us. All
right. All right. And this is what I want to say. I asked a question. I'm like, why bring all that stuff out in the open and lay it out in the valley of trouble? Application for today.
Down.
Say that again, Sandra.
Lay it all down.
All right, lay it all down. Okay. Yep. So the end result of all of this is because he was impatient, because he coveted something more than he coveted his relationship and obedience to God, did he have some temporary relief? Yes. He had the stuff. He was happy.
I got the stuff. And it's hid. Nobody knows. I'm going to wear this nice little garment or whatever.
I mean, because let's be honest. Is there some short-term benefit in sin?
Yeah, short-term.
I was a sinner. I knew.
Short-term.
I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't no short-term benefit in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it don't last.
No, and there's always consequences.
And there's always consequences. And then...
And what good was it doing your mom later?
And it
anyway.
Doesn't do... You can't come out in the open with it.
Uh-uh.
You got to stay on the down low because, you know... Just, you can't, don't you want to be able to have something where you have peace, where it can be exposed in the open and you can enjoy it? And you got to, you can share it, but I can't. There you go.
Yeah.
Chuck, I saw a Western one time where they robbed a bank and took it and buried it somewhere.
Yeah.
They had this bad sandstorm.
Yeah.
And they didn't know where it was.
They couldn't find it nowhere.
I thought the Lord did that.
So, and when I look at this, the only thing I can think is, when we trust in things in the world more than we trust in God, then everything that we have winds up in the valley of trouble. Mm-hmm. We'll have trouble in our relationships. We'll have trouble in our job. We'll have trouble in our... We just expose ourselves to trouble. And that's what I see here when I see them saying, just lay all this stuff out before the Lord and all the people can see it. Why all the people see it? So they can see, this is what happens.
This is what
happens. This is what happens. You know? He looked like he was rolling good. Now all his stuff is in trouble. Yeah. I'm trying to avoid trouble, and now I just brought trouble on everything. Old and new. Even the stuff that I had gets polluted by what I've done here.
Even his sons, his children, everything.
Everything. It's impacted by everything. Just because I coveted something more than I coveted the Lord. All they had to do was just wait on the Lord. Stand
and
on the promise.
It tells me my sin doesn't just affect me.
Yes.
It affects those around me too.
Absolutely. I just came from the prison, and they will attest to you, let you know, yeah, you know, what I did, it was not just about me. Now families are impacted. Relationships are impacted. All right. Let me see what's next. Did we finish this chapter then? No, we didn't finish this chapter.
That's it.
Yes, we is. That's it?
That's
is
it.
That the last of it?
That's it.
Oh, wait a minute. Judgment's executed. Let's see what they... Oh, yeah. Well, verse 20. Let's read this. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Well, your attitude has brought all this on us. Because it's more than just you involved. What you've done has impacted all of us. We got to be careful because people look at us as Christians. And what we do and say or whatever impacts the body.
And see, it gone on so long that God, his anger had become...
Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. That's a memorial. Just to remind you, this is what happens. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Praise God for that. Wherefore the name of that place is called the Valley of Anchor even unto this day. Now, sometimes when I look, and I probably said this before, but sometimes when I look at the Old Testament, I'm like, man, God is just, he's terrible. He just be taking folk out. I'm glad I'm under grace. Good gracious. He just be taking people out. And I thought that God was so terrible. But what I actually see here is God's mercy. Because he takes it out on the older kids. And us coming in behind that can see, well, if the older kids got it like this, then I got an idea of how serious this is to God. I see it as his mercy to us. Because God is serious about this. Yeah. And I praise God that he don't take us out like this or whatever, but the impact of this is still there. Yeah. And I like the example of, you know, hey, when I was growing up, I caught it a lot worse than my little brother. Because I was the oldest. And he should have been watching what my parents did to me to let him know if I do what he did, I may get what he got. So thank you for letting me see that so I can avoid that. That's grace. That's mercy. That's love. Okay. Fortunately, some folk don't get it anyway. It's all. Yeah. All right.
I hope the stoning got over quickly.
And I don't.
Because it said all of Israel
participated in bringing the judgment. Yeah. And depending on what commentary you read, I don't know if his entire family got stoned. Some commentaries say that his family was just out there, but they weren't stoned. It was just him and his stuff got burnt up or whatever. I don't know. So, but at least, you know, we know he put him at risk. It was an embarrassment. All right. Joshua chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof, and the cattle thereof, shall ye take for prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Interesting. So, there's not a whole lot in chapter 8. They kicked the crap out of Ai. But beforehand, let's kind of look at this, because I really found interest in verses 1 and 2 here. So, the first thing that God says to Joshua is, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. This is after God's anger, and they sanctify themselves, and they get rid of the accursed thing. So everything ought to be good, hunky-dory, ready to go. No, everything should be good, ready to go. But everything should be good. So why is God telling Joshua to fear not? There's a fear. If he told him to fear not, then Joshua must have been afraid. Joshua's done everything that he needs to do. He's gone through the steps. Why would he be afraid and dismayed? So I wrote down some things for us to consider, because it doesn't say why he was afraid. But I know, if I put myself in the story, I know why I would be afraid. He could have been afraid that, you know, maybe God's still mad. I know he said things are okay now, and it seems like, but he might still be upset. I know sometimes after I get, you know, when I was growing up, after I got the smackdown or whatever, I still kind of walk, you know, tiptoed around the house a little bit, you know. Got, you know, whether the old man was still mad or whatever, you know, he might have a relapse. I don't know. So I kind of tiptoed around the house. We good? You know, we still good? We good? You know, so I'm fearful, because I don't want him to still be mad. That's, you know, that's not it. He might be afraid that he's going to fail again. I went through this one time, and that wasn't a pleasant experience. And I know God is supposed to be with me or whatever, but I don't want to have to go through that again. I don't want to have to go through that experience again. I'm afraid that I might fail again. All right. And then I think there's a fear that they might not make it to the promised land. We've gone through all of this. I know we're supposed to get there, but, you know, I might not get God's best. So maybe that's why Joshua was afraid, because he suffered failure. And God is telling him. So I want to spend a little time on this, because there are probably moments and times in our life where we have fear. And we're reluctant to try something or to do something and trust God in a particular thing, because we're afraid of failure. We're afraid that, you know, it happened to us once, it might happen again. And we don't want to face that rejection. We don't want to have to face that defeat. We don't want to have to go through that experience again. So God is giving him a word, and I guess the question is, if we've ever been in that place, is what God telling Joshua something that we can use to try again? So let me just go through it again. Fear not. And I broke this down, because I thought this was kind of interesting. So whatever the reason of his fear, God wanted to reassure him that through his word, that victory after a defeat is on the way. So how does he do that? So if he's encouraging Joshua this way, then I want to be able to be encouraged myself. Maybe I can use this word to press forward. All right.
Because to me, when God asks us to do something, he's going to equip us to do it.
Yes. Yes.
He's going to give us everything we need to accomplish what he's asked us to do.
Right.
There's no reason to fear.
Yeah, there's no reason to fear. But
now, if it's something we want to do and we go out on our own, then there's reason to fear.
I'm afraid if he ain't with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Because he's not in it.
The first thing he says is, take everybody with you to war. Now, he lost about 30-some-odd folk or whatever. And the focus is, you got something left, not on what you lost. So that's the first focus. You got all this that's left. You got something of value that I can still use for your victory. If you've got something left over, fear not. Go to eye and see and observe. Even though you lost to the enemy before, he wants you to kind of look at that situation again. All right? You're still a force to be reckoned with. Three, he lets him know that God is with him. He lets him know he's with him. All right? And has already given him the victory before it happens. That will help him be less afraid. Because what I'm doing is in the will of God. What I'm doing is in the will of God. All right. And then he reminds Joshua how the previous victory was obtained. While you're focusing, thank you, Holy Ghost. While you're focusing and fearful because you failed, God wants you to shift your focus and remember when you were victorious. Remember when it did work. I'm about to bring that season back to you.
Amen.
Yeah. And then, you're going to get a reward out of this. We get paid from this. I wish Achan realized, you get paid when you follow God. You get benefit from following God. There is a reward. That's biblical. That's a promise. There is a reward when you follow God. There's a reward. And then he shows Joshua a different approach this time. Man, it's not going to take 7 days. You're going to be successful, but we're going to do it a little different this time. I don't know why this, you know, and I was thinking about this this scripture or whatever, and Paul's got me hooked up playing racquetball, because I used to play racquetball back in the day, and then I switched to basketball, and I'm starting to play racquetball again. And earlier in the week, I just had a, me and this guy, we just had a wonderful time just beating up on people. I mean, we were just beating up on people. They could, you know, we had a couple of games. Paul might have been in there and got beat up a little bit too or whatever. Yeah, we just, you know, well, we weren't whipping people. We were winning 14, 15 and stuff like that or whatever. But, you know, and of course, after I had those victories, I was feeling pretty good about myself. And, hey, I think my game's getting back together or whatever. I went in there, the last couple of times I went in there, oh, my God, they beat me like I stole something.
But you get better.
Well, and so I'm like, certainly I'm not going to use this scripture to justify racquetball. But I'm like, if he cares about the sparrows or whatever, then maybe he just cares about my racquetball game too. So I had to ask myself, am I fearful? Yeah, I'm fearful. I'm fearful that that my game is not going to be competitive. I'm fearful that I might go in there and people might be thinking, here comes Chuck. I don't want to be on his team because that's instant loss. And I'm asking myself, well, Lord, do you still want me to be involved in this? Is this a thing? And these are some good brothers. Steve's in there. And the fellowship with Christian brothers playing racquetball, that thing is nice. So,
Chuck, do you ever get hit with the ball?
Paul's the only one that hits people, and sometimes he's on my team, so. Yeah, you get hit with that ball. It'll tattoo you, brother. You were right about that. And as I'm looking at this, I'm like, I wonder if I can use this even for my racquetball. Something as simple as that. Yeah, I'm not going to fear. Two, I'm not going to focus on the loss. I'm going to focus on the fact that, you know, back in the 80s, I was a pretty good racquetball player. I may not get back to that, but I had some victory, so I'm going to focus more on the victory or whatever. Yeah. And then I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know what? There's still a reward behind this. If it's nothing but the fellowship and the camaraderie or whatever. But you know what? I think I'm going to go at it a little differently. The way I won they've adjusted to that. So now I'm going to adjust my game, all right, and go out there by faith. I know this seems trivial or whatever, but I want to apply every minute detail of my life to God's plan. All right. Application for today. Seeing what God told Joshua, that encouraged him. How do I know it encouraged him? Because he got up. And sometimes this might be what we need to read to encourage us to get up, try again. All right? I can use these same words. All right? Have you ever been fearful and discouraged about the future? Doubtful if you will receive and enjoy God's best? Then perhaps the following word will help to reverse those feelings. And I wrote it down. Look at what God has allowed you to keep. I still got something left. Amen. Know that after repentance, God is with you. I'm in alignment with God. As long as he's with me, I'm good to go. All right. Remember how he has delivered you before and expect him to do it again.
Amen.
Know that faithful obedience has rewards. There's a payback. I get paid for doing this. I told the inmates, I'm like, I don't get paid to do this. I am a volunteer. I do not have a contract. When I come out here to preach and teach to you guys, I don't get paid. But don't think that I love you enough that I'm just going to do this for free. I'm getting paid. I get a reward. Jesus said when I visit the sick and the widows and those that are in prison, I get a reward. Y'all are helping me to get paid. There's a reward behind this. And when I know there's a reward behind this, I don't get too tired. Y'all don't get too discouraged. I get paid for this. I get paid for this. It's coming. Get paid. Yes. No, and know that the plan of God is for you to enjoy the spoils of victory. He wants you to enjoy it. It's coming. Payday's coming after a while. All right. Now, it might happen a little differently. The instructions might be adjusted. But who cares? As long as in the end, you win. I may not be able to do it exactly like I did it before. Hear me now. It worked like this against this situation. And God said, remember how you got victory over there. But that doesn't mean that those same steps are going to work in your new situation. God might say, you might have to adjust for this situation. All right? Okay. And I know that that pep talk worked. Because in verse 3, so Joshua arose. And all the people of war to go against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. All right. Now before when they went through this, the scout said, it ain't gonna take too much. We can knock this out with just 3,000. God says, take everything you got. I don't know if I got them. I don't see the results. You know, when you swat at something, right, and you don't see the results, God wants you to see the results. You know. The children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, and they look back, what they see in the water? All the Egyptians. So they know this problem is taken care of because I can see it. Got it? When you jump in the bathtub and you want to know whether you're clean or not, well, you look back and see.
Dirty water,
ring around the tub or whatever. I say, hey, I got this hand. So that gnat is still flying around someplace because I don't see any evidence.
Yes, sir.
He came over here.
Oh, he came over there? Well, praise God. Maybe he's going to give him to somebody else. He's going to be a little more dexterous or whatever. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, y'all funny. All right. And the impact of that, he's able to rise up. Verse 4, so I'm not going to spend more time on this than what I have to or whatever, because that's just, God wants us to get up, try again. All right. And he commanded them, verse 4, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us. So we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us as at the first. Oh, my goodness. Therefore, we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. So, Joshua says, we're not going to do this like we did in Jericho. We're going to do this different. You guys are going to hide around the corner. We're going to come up in the front. And when they see us, they're going to think that they're going to beat us like they did the first time. So we're going to let them think. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We're going to let them think that they're getting ready to have another victory. But we're going to flip the script. All right? Because their pride is going to cause them to fall into this trap.
You know, same thing, Chuck, happened to us in the Little Bighorn.
Yeah.
That guy was so
prideful.
Indian killer.
Yep.
You know, and they got
him. Yep. All right. Custer, Little Bighorn. All right. Mm-hmm. So, application for today. I like this. My enemy might think that I'm going to come at him one way, but really it's a trap to defeat the enemy. Some folk are expecting you to come at them the same way, and they're expecting similar results. And when God is with you, you can trap them and turn things around. I don't know who that's for. I'm just throwing that out there. Okay, here you go. Might be for me. I don't know.
When you turn around and give them love, and they're expecting anger or hate.
Yeah, but in this, amen. Yeah. Whatever gives you the victory, you don't always have to beat the brakes off them. But in this case, the beatdown is coming. All right. All right. All right, don't leave anything behind. Take them all out. Okay, verse 9. And Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. I love it. What a great leadership example. He stayed with the people to encourage them, let them know, it's going to look bad, but I'm with you. Ooh, I like that. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them in to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the hosts that were on the north side of the city and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all the people at a time appointed before the plain. But he did not know that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. Oh, my goodness. So now they're taking this situation like, you know what? I'm going to let you think that you got this. I'm going to let you think that you got this thing under control. I'm going to let you think that you got this. But you know what? I know something you don't know. Application for today. Just because it looks like you're defeated, if God is with you, you can expect the enemy to be in for a surprise.
Amen.
Let me read that one more time.
Amen.
Just because it looks like you are defeated, if God is with you, you can expect the enemy to be in for a surprise. Surprise.
Yeah.
Is there something in the New Testament about that? I bet the enemy was surprised when Jesus was in the grave, but he came back up. Surprise. All right, when it looks like your problem has you on the run, it may be just a matter of time before God turns the table around your situation, and what was chasing you, you're going to start chasing after it.
Amen.
That song was playing when I came in.
Me too.
On Sirius Radio. It was playing. Michael W. Smith.
Yep.
Love that song.
Me too.
Programmed that on my bike. You ought to see me. I'm just. Anyway. Keep your hands on the bike. All right. Verse 18. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward I, for I will give it into thy hand. He gives it to you before you actually receive it. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. That must have been a signal. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. Wow. All they had to do was obey. Verse 20. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. Where are you going to go now? Now that I got you out here. Now that you've put yourself in this situation. Now that you... Now that you're out here in this situation, what are you going to do now? And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. You know, I can experience or see the victory of God's people, but sadly I can also see myself in the men of Ai, where I have just presumed that I got this and overextended myself, and I get in a situation where I'm like, ooh, I'm in bad shape. I don't ever want to be in that situation where I don't need God. I just assume, hey, if it worked the first time, it'll work the second time. And I go out and the Holy Spirit is not with me. I love this scripture. Look at what happened. The enemy was chasing after God's people to destroy them. They were running away from the problem and the enemy. However, they were following God's plan. Mm-hmm. And soon his people started chasing after the problem that a little while ago was chasing after them. Maybe that's for somebody. The problem that you're dealing with right now, trust in the Lord. Be encouraged. Make sure he's with you. And the problem that's chasing you, he can turn that thing around and you can have that problem on the run. Verse 22, and the other issued out of the city against them so that they were in the midst of Israel. Some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And they took the king of Ai, they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness therein, they chased them. And when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. Don't leave anything of the enemy survive, because it'll just mess you up in your future. Verse 25. And so it was that all that fell that day, verse 25, both of men and women were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear until he utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. And that's because God is fighting against false worship. In my notes there. Look at verse 27. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord which commanded Joshua. And then I just had this thought about Achan. If he had just waited a little while longer, what he was enjoying in secret, he would have been able to enjoy openly. All he had to do was know and believe that there's a reward behind this. Once you know the truth that there's a reward behind this, that should encourage us to stay in alignment with God. I'm doing good, I'm being good, I'm treating folk nice, and I'm still getting stepped on. Okay, gotcha. There's a reward behind this. And I'm not going to be impatient I'm going to continue to wait on God. I'm going to stand on His promises because I'm going to get a reward behind what I'm going through. I'm getting a reward behind this. I'm not going to take matters into my own hand. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm standing on His promises. I get paid for what I'm going through. Application, need to be patient.
Amen.
Just need to be patient. Have faith. Man, if he had just waited. Wow. All right, verse 28. And Joshua burnt Ai and made a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening tide, because they didn't want to pollute the land by having the body left up overnight, which is why they had to bring Christ off the cross quickly. All right. As soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that he should take the carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise upon thereon a great heap of stones that remains unto this day. This is a memorial. All right. When you defeated what God has given you victory over, make sure it will never rise up again. All right. If you've been delivered from something, make sure it does not rise up again. When I went to college, I did not drink. Every now and then, it was slow gin fizz, something like that, or whatever. Rum and Coke, you know, little baby drinks that kind of get me started, or whatever. But everybody was drinking beer, and I had to drink a beer. I'm like, man, that is the nastiest stuff. I don't know how you guys drink beer. That is like the straight-up nastiest thing I've ever tasted in my life. That's terrible. You guys go crazy over here over this beer stuff, and I just don't get it. And that's my freshman year. My sophomore year, we came back from a track meet or whatever, and I just got all excited or whatever, and I learned how to drink beer. And I got so good at drinking beer, you could blindfold me. I could tell you what brand it was. And I would get sloppy drunk all the time. Because I learned how to drink in college. And college people don't have no sense. So, you know. Well, that wasn't a problem until after a while I joined the Air Force or whatever. Now I got a big person job or whatever. And we were drinking. And I'm like, you can't drink like you did in college. You're going to get in trouble. And praise God, I did not get a DUI, DWI, you know. And I found the Lord, and I got delivered from drinking. Because I never learned how to drink socially. It was always a competition. I had to drink the other person under the table or whatever. But God delivered me from that. So years later, I'm sitting down and sitting with some guys or whatever, and, you know, I'm out of drinking shape now, and I had a lager or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm like, yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. Okay, that's cool. Do you want another one? I'm like, you know what? If I start to go down this road, the thing that I defeated could wind up being a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need to make sure that that's eradicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, you know.
And
make
look
sure.
At how many of us have been rewarded because you stopped and went with God. We're rewarded today.
Yeah, because I wasn't just joking when I told Mac about that black velvet, because that used to be my thing right there. I said, you know, you in college, you ain't got money for Crown Royal. I mean, you know, you got to, you know, Seagram 7, stuff like that, you know. Yeah. Yeah, you ain't got money for that. You had to get that rock gut stuff. Yeah. Now, you know, we just need to move on before somebody gets all excited about, you know, about that. Pop Jerry back there licking his lips. But all right. Verse 30. I think we can wrap this up. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man have lift up any iron, and they offered thereupon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. Okay, so after this victory, they have church. And they make sure that man is not involved, pride is not involved in the worship, thank you, because there's no tool used to create the altar. They just pile up stones because you don't want to draw any attention away from the glory and the power of God. All right. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the, and they say this was probably done in plaster. He wrote there upon the stone the copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and their officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he was born among them. Half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings, the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. So I went back to analyze this. In Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, which was written before this, Moses predicts that they will have this season where they will go into this valley and they will read the law. And Moses had already given them the law in those chapters. And he says, you're going to fulfill this prophecy after this victory. And so as you're reading this, if you went back to Deuteronomy 27, 28, it is right there. And Deuteronomy 28, I believe, is the passage that says, we're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go. And everybody, a lot of us as Christians know that scripture, and it encourages us. In fact, Fred Hammer had a song. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go. I mean, it's a wonderful song. It gives me all encouragement. But the problem is we don't read far enough. We don't read far enough. Because after the blessings, it says, now, if you don't do this, then you'll be cursed in the city, and you'll be cursed in the field, and you'll be cursed where you come and where you go. And so they're getting the whole word. Don't just take the piece that sounds good. You got to take the whole word. All right? And so this is being played out. And I love what David Guzik, one of my favorite commentary guys, says. He says, it's just a pattern that outlines the spiritual history of Israel. One, obedience followed by victory. Next, victory followed by a blessing. Next, blessing followed by pride. There you go. And disobedience. There you go. And then disobedience followed by defeat. And then defeat followed by judgment. And then judgment followed by repentance. And then repentance followed by obedience. And then obedience followed by victory. And they just kept going through this whole cycle, you know. And if I analyze my life, I probably could point to where I went through this similar cycle or whatever. You know, everything's going good or whatever. Got a little prideful or whatever. Then, boom, you know, I fail. Now I got to go back through again or whatever. Man, it's like spiritual yo-yo. I'm not trying to be yo-yo Christian. I'm trying to stay up. Good gracious. Verse 35, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So even the Gentiles, all the proselytes, everybody heard the word of God because everybody needs the word of God. Did he hold anything back? No, he read the whole word. Had they heard that same word before? Yes, they had. They heard that same word before in Deuteronomy 27:28. Why read the same word again here? Because we forget. We still need to be encouraged. We still need to be reminded that we need to be faithful. Still need the word. Still need a reminder. Even if I've read it before. I've read John 3:16 so many times that, and you know what? Every now and then I still need to hear it. Somebody came to me the other day and said, I don't think we're going to perish. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. You know, started analyzing everything or whatever. You know, they don't think there's a hell. They think that God's going to be just, you know, gracious and loving and just let everybody go into heaven or whatever. I'm like, okay, you can think that all. And I started doing research and analyzing all the scriptures or whatever that kind of point to that ain't the case or whatever. And I'm like, there it is, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish. All right. So, application for today. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It is critical to our success as Christians to read and understand the Word of God, not just the parts that we like. All right. All of the Word. All right. This applies to everyone, both Jews and Gentiles. And I believe that is it. Can you imagine? Now, that puts us in a predicament, because I have no idea what I'm going to teach on next week, because we have completed the heroes of the Bible. So I will have to pray to see what we're going to talk about next week or whatever, because I don't want to get into the parables before we get everybody else lined up or whatever. So we will see. But God is, I'm in a perfect place to get what God wants us to have for next week, because I don't have a clue, which means I must do what?
Pray.
I must rely on Him. I must humble myself. God, I ain't got a clue. What do you want me to do? I'm gonna take away everything else or whatever. You know, I'm trusting in you. What do the people need to hear? Come on, you know, and God will deliver because I need Him. Yeah. Now, if I already had something lined up, then you know, I still pray, but I wouldn't need Him as much. Oh, I already got this. I already know how to do it. No problem. All right. So I don't have a clue, and that's probably the best thing that can happen for us. Amen.